Hey guys, this is John Sneisner from World Alternative Media, and I'm joining you from beautiful Toronto in Canada. And I'm here for the Futurist Conference 2019. It's a lot of fantastic speakers, great content, and a lot of knowledgeable people that are out there, you know, building a alternate reality, I called it, to the current realm that I think we're seeing some issues with, right, Tim? Because you got some articles that you want to share with everyone here that might, you know, cast a little bit of concern on how the monetary system is going, because we hear from Mnuchin, from Powell that everything is fine, you know, there's nothing to worry about. I hear that here in Canada too. Meanwhile, you know, our yield curve is completely inverted here in Canada, which is the only country in the world. Yeah, no, everything is fine. So yeah, well, how about you share some of those articles with us, Tim, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, what sounds crazy is right now I'm on Drudge Report. It is August 13th, and it sounds like it was, you know, edited by, you know, myself, by, you know, basically all of Wham. When you take a look at it, we've got out of control federal spending sets new record. I'll just kind of rattle these off and we can go back. Deficit widens 27%. American household debt nears 14 trillion. Mortgage debt hits record, eclipsing 2008 peak. The average farm is 1.3 million in the red. Then we've got USA delays tariffs, surprise, surprise. Warning, yield curve nearly inverted. That is for everybody in the United States. Recession fears rise. And then it only goes on from there. But what's crazy is, I mean, this almost sounds like, you know, basically it could have been, you know, written by one of us. Yeah, it's the actual Drudge Report. And so, you know, I do have two little kids at home, and it reminds me of that, was it like a Lego song? It's like, everything is awesome, everything is cool. Like, that's like sort of like the mantra that they want to, you know, portray, that everything is going great. But the yield curve right now, let me pull it up, and I do have Canada's pulled up. Let's see over here. So Canada, you know, I'm trying to get the I'm not the stud with trading economics such as yourself, but right, what I was trying to pull up was the different maturities, but I just found 10-year. But anyways, on the American 10-year, you've got a situation where basically the 30-year treasury and the, you know, and like the 2-year is basically, you know, very, very close to being the same. Or actually you've even got, I was just doing this off, so we got 2-year 1.66 and 30-year coming in at 2.14. So I mean, it's just absolutely crazy. And what, when you got basically the Fed funds rate, what is it, 2 to 2.25? So you got the 30-year yield that's actually below the Fed funds rate. I mean, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, John, but how many times has that like even happened, or how many times did it happen and it hasn't meant that we're going into recession? I mean, do you remember that really ever happening? And that's not being almost
no, not really. Yeah, you know, not really. So when that in yield conversion, which is quite extreme right now, is happening, what you're gonna see in, I think it was, I'm trying to remember off my head right now, but I think it was 10 out of 13 times throughout history, when the yield curve is inverted, there's a impending recession coming right after it. So what this entails is that we're in some serious trouble. And not only that, we're at record lows in interest rates. We're not at the zero anymore that we're close to in the US and Canada, but we were still like very low compared to what where we could be right now. If the free market had, you know, decided to step in, we'd probably be at 12, 30 to 30% somewhere. But now we're seeing, of course, the economy, you know, hovering around, you know, the interest rates hovering around, you know, higher in Canada is 1.75, of course, about 2 to 2.25 in the United States. And if they can actually efficiently drop to, you know, stimulate the economy, as they're trying to say, they're going to have to drop it at least 5%, probably 5, 6 or 7 at the most. Well, where are we going to end up here? We're going to be in negative territory. We're going to be in negative 3 to 4%.
And that's we're already basically negative once you factor in what the real rates of inflation are. I mean, that's something we've touched on numerous times of how they rig that number. And then I do believe that the 30-year bond is pretty much at an all-time, is basically right within striking distance of an all-time low. I'm not sure if it's quite there because we don't have a big research team, but I think we're at 2.14. And I mean, I can't believe it's, you know, been below 2 before or that many times in the past. So I mean, we're right there in uncharted territories. Now we're going to move on to another article where we're talking about the federal spending sets a record through July. And what people have to understand is that counts 2009, when we had, like the $800 billion TARP bailout, which actually wasn't even the real bailout. There was an actual other kind of secret stealth bailout that a reporter, Mark Pittman, uncovered. And then he mysteriously died right after he uncovered that. So, you know, that's also worth noting. So rest in peace, Mark Pittman. Thank you for getting us that information, which was the real $16 trillion bailout, which was the real shebang. But when you take a look at where we're spending money, I mean, it's basically all mandatory spending. So we've got Social Security coming in at close to $900 billion. The Defense Department's close to, or probably the Offense Department is close to $600 billion. Medicare only coming in at half a trillion, which in the future, that's going to be a way bigger problem than Social Security. And then, and I think the biggest spender for at least American departments right now is the Department of Health and Human Services. So, I mean, whoever thought, you know, that, you know, 100 years ago that you'd have the Department of Health and Human Services spending probably about $1 trillion. And it's just actually crazy. So when all the Republicans want to, you know, go on and pound their chest about how great things are going, it's only great because we've massively increased the deficit. But it takes about $3 of debt to get $1 of GDP. And so as a businessman, if I have to spend $3 to get $1, I'm probably not going to do that unless somehow like your Amazon or your all these other big time globalist companies that can somehow operate in that type of environment. But so let's know what else is going on at the Blockchain Futurist Conference that you've got going on over there.
No, it's very exciting. We got a lot of great speakers. We got Brock Pierce. We got Tone Ways. I just listened to Tone Ways. Vitalik Buterin. We got Anthem Blanchard. We got Michael Turpin. A whole bunch of wide array of fantastic speakers here that I really have enjoyed talking to. I just briefly met with Vitalik about half an hour or so ago and had a quick chat with him. Really interesting guy. He's, you know, a true geek at heart. Then, of course, I'm looking forward to talking to guys like Tone Ways. I know that you've been talking with Tone Ways over there when you were in Phoenix.
Well, do you know where he got his start? The first place he ever did a radio show interview for was actually Ernie. So Ernie sort of discovered it.
So I see that's where the connection is.
So Ernie is to blame for Tone Ways. Or what happened is Ernie was at a conference. Tone Ways was at the conference. I think it was in New York City. And Tone was asking a bunch of questions. And then Ernie was like, hey, this dude's asking a bunch of questions. Thought he was important. Yeah. And then turns out at the time he was a complete nobody, and then he leveraged that to then become, you know, where he's at today. So that's the little.
Hey, there you go. Thank you, Ernie. You know that Ernie? He's sneaky. He's under the radar. He's always at the forefront of liberty and you know, moving the world forward when none of us really even are thinking about it. This guy is truly a genius in my point of view, Ernie Hancock. He's just helped so many people, you know, reach a point of understanding and liberty in their lives that, you know,
and there's going to be a big party. We got a big party going on at his house this Friday. So Jordan Page, who's pretty big in the liberty music scene, mm-hmm. awesome singer, is having a private concert at Ernie's house, which is going to be awesome. So there's going to be probably a ton of
sounds
people.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Setting up a whole stage. So if you guys can get to Phoenix, you know, just go to freedomsphoenix.com and then you'll see there's a whole little advertisement about that. Just $20 suggested donation, but they're not turning anybody away. But let's get back with the news. So another article I have here is actually this is Morgan Stanley, and it says the bear market started in January 2018 and is about to get much worse. And so if you actually take a look at where, you know, the Dow Jones is or the S&P 500 is then versus now, as you can see right now on the screen, well, John can't see, but we can see, you know, we're actually down a little bit since then. And it's actually surprising. And all that was basically all of Trump's, you know, bump, so to speak, all happened in 2017 with the tax cut and repatriating the money back here. But you can only repatriate your money back, all the money back once, unless you let it build up with, you know, once the socialists get in charge again. But, you know, for all these people who wanted to, you know, just beat their drums about how great things are going, you know, it's just absolutely isn't the case. It's all predicated on getting more and more deeper and deeper into debt, which if you take a look at all the different, you know, reports today on Drudge Report, basically shows that's exactly what is happening. Mortgage debt, you know, just hit a record high, eclipsing 2008 levels. So we've got this from the Wall Street Journal. up on the screen right now. And so, you know, does that sound like a healthy economy when, you know, we've got more people in debt today than we did at the height of a problem that was created by having way too much debt? The only difference now is that with these low and even negative rates in most places around the world, that is basically keeping zombie people and zombie mainly banks and corporations still afloat. I mean, in Denmark right now, you're getting paid to take out a mortgage on a house. So you borrow $1 million, you only have to pay back $950,000. And now I'm sure they probably already ruined their country with a bunch of socialism. which actually you could probably speak to, being from Norway, that Norway is always one of the examples that people want to put out there as, you know, hey, socialism works. Look at Norway. You know, they have tons of taxes and they're doing great over there.
Can you Well, yeah, socialism works until you actually run out of oil at Norway. Not run out of oil, but other people's
money.
Yeah, the oil price is, you know, a third or even a quarter of what it was back when Norway was doing really good. And during the last financial crisis, you know, the oil prices were substantially higher than they are now, which Norway is actually hitting a massive financial crisis right now, where the mortgage and housing real estate market is, you know, so overvoted. It's the number two bubble after New Zealand right now. Only Canada is ahead. And of course, the city right behind me here is in a potentially massive real estate bubble right now that, you know, is impending. And they are down, you know, 10 to 20% a lot of places here in Toronto. So you're seeing, you know, the big problems there. And it's what I call, of course, peak debt, where people have just, you know, engulfed on too much debt over time, and there's nobody else to really borrow money to anymore. And that's when you get a problem, because who's going to pay off the interest that's ever, you know, increasing, that doesn't exist? And that is the major issue. And that's where you actually hit that problem, where you get then deflationary pressures by bankruptcies and so on, because nobody's left to actually pay the interest because it doesn't exist. So you're going to see a lot of these pressures around. And of course, in my home country, Norway, with the socialist government there, you're getting some stuff for free, not everything actually, but you're still paying, you know, 60 to 90% of your income in taxation at the end of the day. And, you know, you look at those countries that are highly taxed, they also correlate with massive indebtedness. The most indebted countries in the world are also the most highest taxed countries in the world. So you've seen a huge correlation there. And for the United States, if people think that, oh, everything is fine with the United States, they'd have, you know, 22.5 something trillion right now in debt. But then if you look at just 8 years down the road with all the unfunded liabilities and everything coming online with the baby boomers, you know, requesting a lot more Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and so on, you're looking at that deficit increasing to probably $3-5 trillion. And then on top of that, you're sitting on, you know, probably debt around 50 to 60 trillion. Yeah, we can keep on, you know, getting this debt higher and printing more money. But at one point, it's going to be a breaking point where the population is so poor because of the devaluation of the currency that they're just going to say, like, I'm not going to use this currency anymore. It's useless to me. It just have destroyed my life. And at that point, that breaking point, then there's usually just a year time frame where the whole currency is gone. I believe, Tim, that we're looking at probably seen in all the other currencies fall before the United States dollar, because it is the world reserve currency. But again, it is a fiat currency. So when you are a fiat currency, you will eventually fail. And when all the other options are off the table, and there's no more security to fly to in the United States dollar, well, then it's also game over for the United States dollar. So there's not a lot of options for people out there if they think that they're gonna, you know, hold their money in the banks and keep them, that they think that the United States dollar is safe. Yeah, it'll be safe for a little while, but then at the point where everybody understands, like, how devalued also the dollar is compared to all the other currencies that are failing, then everybody would just relinquish all their dollars onto the market, and the government would have to print substantial amounts of money to cover all the taxation income that's lost through the legal tender laws, you know, putting a gun to your head, forcing you to pay taxes with them. So I think what we're going to see, Tim, is we're going to see a huge shift coming up here. And, you know, we've been saying this for a while, that, you know, we can't put a date on it, but it's getting very close to that end game, and we're seeing it really in the economy where there's a lot of stress cracks developing with the yield curves are inverting. You've got gold, you know, moving up in even in U.S. dollar terms with the manipulated ETF paper price. And
talk about gold. Talk about gold and other currency prices as well, because that's one thing a lot of U.S.-centric investors don't realize.
Yeah, this is a big thing here that not a lot of people understand. See, this is the thing with the United States dollar. You can actually manipulate the gold price down in U.S. dollar terms by issuing more contracts or faking, you know, transactions, doing naked shorts, all this fun stuff that they do to try to control the gold and silver price. But in other currencies, there's not ETFs, there's not no future prices in a lot of other currencies. So you get a more real value of gold in those currencies. And all of the currencies that I looked at, except for I think one or two, actually are at record highs right now in gold terms. Actually, I would say the currency is at record lows towards gold. So meaning that, you know, they printed record amounts of currency versus gold, and the currency has lost so much value that the gold price is so much higher. So what we're seeing like all around the world, like gold is, you know, ever going up to new highs because it can't be controlled the way the United States gold price is currently. And if you were to look at like where to see that we have some issues, just look at gold price in Canadian dollars and euros and in yen and in won, whatever currency you decide to look at, you'll see that these currencies are a loose in value towards the actual real money, which is gold and silver. And I see just recently I've been seeing a move where the gold silver ratio went from 93 at the peak now down to 88.60 something, I believe, last time I checked yesterday. So we're seeing this move in the gold silver ratio, which is also another predictor. Other than the yield curve, the gold silver ratio is even almost a better predictor than the yield curve inversion to a recession in the markets. So
the other thing you're seeing, we're also seeing, we got to pull it right now, Bitcoin price correlation with gold nearly doubled in the past 3 months. You're seeing other recession, assets that people get into, such as gold and silver, that's been going up. Bitcoin, that's been going up recently. I mean, not the past couple of days, but we've got bonds. People are pouring into bonds. People are getting their cash positions. And I think you hit the nail on the head is that a lot of people think that with the dollar collapse, that one day, you know, the dollar is going to be the first thing that goes. But I agree with you that I think that people are always going to really sort of do the worst thing first. And so if you have inside information, let's say in August of 2011, that Moody's or I forget whoever downgraded the U.S. debt was going to do so, you would say, okay, well, now that the dollar is, or the U.S. debt is like less likelihood of the U.S. being able to pay it back. Now it's going to require a higher coupon because more risk, more reward. But what happened was people then took that news and then piled into bonds in a sense that the people were now paying more for the bonds, which was completely counterintuitive. So that's one thing that people aren't realizing is that I think people will do that counterintuitive thing once again. However, at a certain point, one day it's going to be Monday or Friday or who knows, basically it's all going to happen overnight where, you know, you kept everything quote unquote safe in bonds or quote unquote safe in cash, which for a while will be a good move if you have the cojones to then move it from that asset to another risk asset and just hope that the other risk asset didn't already go up in value. Because what happens, you know, the bonds, in my opinion, are going to get crucified. Keeping your money in cash, unless you're, you know, like a billionaire, you're going to get crucified. And so what I see is as a certified financial planner, that I'm trying to help clients make the best out of what's going to be a bad situation and not necessarily even, you know, trying to hit a home run, but just try to have some chips on the table so that way we can take advantage of these imbalances. Because if people make money when everything goes down, because there's going to be some things, a lot of things that lose way more in value than they should. But if you don't have the dry powder, if you don't have the liquidity to invest in those, well, then you're going to be game over. Or if you're, you know, already retired or about to retire and this wobbles your retirement, well, if you don't do anything now to prepare for that, you're going to have to wait and maybe delay your retirement by 3 to 5 years, maybe even more. Maybe you're going to have to get a part-time job during retirement. Maybe now instead of living off, you know, $70,000 a year, you're going to live off $50,000 a year. There's a lot of real-world things that can be done or that are going to happen to people because they don't heed these warnings. And so, you know, just to give a quick little plug, you know, I have basically been trying to prep basically my entire adult life for preparing before, you know, this crisis retiring mode that people are in. Because I know people are going to make the wrong move. They're going to put everything in cash, put everything in bonds, or put everything in the safe stuff. And then eventually when all the inflation hits all at once, whether it takes, you know, one day, one week, one month, you know, one quarter, it's really immaterial because you're going to be flat-footed and all of your purchasing power is going to be eroded. And so you've got to take a look at, you know, sequence of return risk, you know, interest rate risk, you know, market risk, all the inflation risk, deflation risk, yeah. And how do you hedge against those? And so if you guys head over to my BitChute, maybe I'll link it down below, is I have my talk last year at the Dollar Vigilante Summit was on crisis retiring, specifically geared toward this. And guess what? You have time. You didn't, I mean, we thought things were going to go a little while ago, and actually in October, but guess what? You've got a redo. It's not very many times in life. You've got two redos of, you know, we had that Morgan Stanley article that talked about how we were really in a recession back in, you know, January 2018. Well, guess what? You've got two separate shots to basically do a do-over. And in life, you don't really, a lot of times you don't really get third chances to do things. So this right now is your third chance. We are coming up at 22 minutes right now. So just wanted to let you know about that. And definitely appreciate you taking some time today to give us an update from the blockchain futures conference. But it's just crazy how many watershed moments are going on, whether it's, you know, from finance with having the Fed having to cut rates for the first time in 11 years, whether it's on the crypto scene where you've got, you know, within the past month, you had the congressional, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, Trump tweeting about it, all this crazy stuff happening with Epstein on the geopolitical front, of now people being able to wake up and see what's going on with that whole charade. And so like everything that we talk about basically is all like coming to a head with all these watershed moments happening right now. And I actually think it's a pretty exciting time to be alive, and I'm pretty optimistic on this. So, I mean, if you only glimpse of me is, you know, see all my anti-police posts, you know, I really am a pretty positive person because I think that we're actually going to be able to make a bunch of money from all this, but I'm not going to take a victory lap seeing a lot of people are going to be hurt by this. But I also don't want to have people say, hey, now the answer to all this is to go tax everybody 90%. Because last time my health care cost went from $70 to $1,000 a month. So thank you very much for making everything free for me. I really appreciate all the liberals trying to help.
Hey, free is fun and free is great. You know, that's what the Norwegian economy is running on. Actually, not a lot of stuff is free anymore in Norway, even though we're so heavily socialist as an economy. And I think it all comes down to that we just got to make sure that we prepare ourselves and that we're physically and mentally prepared for what's coming. Because if you panic or if you get emotional through a crisis, you're going to make stupid mistakes investing your money. And you know all about this, Tim. You've been in investment for a very long time.
Since the day Lehman, my first day professionally was actually the day Lehman Brothers collapsed, but I was in the fight in 2007 running my school's endowment fund, the financial stocks that had the whole thing of cash, got chewed up everybody and got no thank you. So, I mean, I was around for that fight as well. Another thing I want to talk about is, you know, make sure that you guys do follow us on other channels. Make sure you subscribe to email list because right now I'm taking a look at the metrics. Got 32,000 people following my Facebook page. This video has only reached 133. And I'm one of those 133. So an absolute joke of what is that? Thousands of a percent over here of what this is reaching. Same thing with Josh being shadow banned on all the different platforms. So make sure there's different ways to keep in touch because they don't want you guys knowing this information. Yeah. And sounds like you got some music going on in the background.
I'm going to start dancing soon, Tim.
Well, those are two big balloons behind you, or three big balloons.
There's going to be a big party here just in a couple hours from now. So it'll be good times, really time to network and make some great connections, and hopefully bring some powerful maybe one or two interviews that I'm hoping to do out there while I'm at the Futures Conference. So
Did you ask Vitalik to come to the Winnipeg Crypto Conference?
Yeah, actually, he told me that it's DEF CON right at that date, so unfortunately, he can't be there. But you know, maybe I'll move my conference next year for Vitalik. I might actually consider that. So, but yeah, no, it was good meeting him. He is an amazing guy, of course, that have created so much wealth and value before. A lot of people with his Ethereum project and all of his other projects that has been involved in after that. He's one of the guys that are moving the world forward to a better place to get with all the Bitcoin people and all the other cryptocurrencies that are out there. Actually, I'm going to give a shout out to my cryptocurrency that I'm heavily involved in. that is just launched. Well, actually, it's the last day of the first tranche of the initial exchange offering that we have right now. And we're on Bitforex, so you can actually reach us there if you're interested to take a look at, you know, the what's called the UOS token, which is basically it's backing several things. It's really interesting. It has a governance platform, so we could replace governments completely and let use of all the waste that we have in the world today. And also, it's a social media, decentralized social media platform that doesn't censor people like YouTube, Facebook, and others. So we have that on u.community that you can check out. And then, yeah, we look forward to, you know, also approaching other business venues with this and hopefully enrich people so we could, you know, together be able to reach a higher standard of living so we could help a lot more people get the message out even further. And I think that's what it's all about, to enrich each other and help each other on this journey to, you know, become not just wealthy, but, you know, create a great network of fantastic people that you surround yourself with and build, you know, a good, solid future for everyone in this world. And I think that's the path to go instead of the totalitarian path that, you know, all these governments are doing now in a panic mode as their interest rates, you know, will drop to zero and to negative and go cashless. Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it's only math. I mean, it's something that we've been harping on forever. I mean, I just remember going back to when I still lived in New York, which was eight, 9 years ago, saying that, listen, once the debt gets to $20 trillion, if the rates were 5%, that's $1 trillion a year in interest. And so back then, the Federal Reserve, by their dot plots, which for those of you who don't know, that's where the Federal Reserve governors say, and for some reason, this is cutting off my head right now, so let me try to see if I can fix that. I don't know if that looks any better, but definitely doesn't look better. So maybe we'll just have a picture of you up there. Let me see what's going on. But anyways, I knew that there's no way that they could have basically pulled this off, because if you have a dot plot that shows we're going to be at 4.5%, that means that the actual would be at like 5.5%, 6%, 7%. And so there's no way you can do that. And so
bankruptcy of the state and everybody else with massive debts.
And so how is it that every single fund manager, every single person managing $1 billion, every single person out there has their head up there, you know what, that it's all that we're all going to be on, we're all over here on one side of things until, you know, it's okay to be over here. But there's going to be a massive rush to the exits. And the exits right now are the bonds, which is going to be the bad move long term for people, better than, you know, who knows? I mean, but then you've got, you know, the cryptos, gold and silver, and there's just all these different things that people could be doing, you know, whether it's even, you know, putting some annuities into their retirement situation as well. But that's a very complicated subject, probably even more complicated than cryptos. So know what you're doing, because, you know, and I just want to give one quick plug for people that want to get into cryptos. We have retirement programs where you can take part of your retirement. Again, I don't advocate you go take 100% of your money and put it into Bitcoin, obviously. But you can go and you can have it inside of your retirement account. That way you can get tax-free, tax-deferred gains, buy and sell inside of there, not trigger capital gains. And then if you do have all your net worth in Bitcoin because you bought it at 30 cents, well, then I have trust strategies to help you legally avoid taxes by doing all the big tools that all the big boys and girls use to help keep their wealth basically preserved for generations to come. But I think at that end, we'll at least, maybe we'll do another one of these. But for right now, we'll end this one because we're coming up to half an hour. But yeah, this was Tim Pichot and John Snyson. We've got John from the Blockchain Futurist Conference. But anyways, Tim Pichot with Liberty Advisor and World Alternative Media, John Snyson, World Alternative Media, and the Economic Truth reporting live. And until next time, and find the truth, be the change.
Yeah, boys.
All right, we're still live, and I'll work on that one and get it better next time.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah, we're still streaming, so I don't know if you want to maybe, you know, let me try to.
Hold on.